Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is the zero-time Olympic medal winner, Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Celebrity Big Brother premiere. Let's give it a good tap for the premiere of Celebrity Big Brother 2019. I could not be more excited to be live tonight to talk about the premiere with our own power pair. Let's get into it tonight. Of course, first, let's welcome in a man who is about to get ready to bring you everything that's going on the live feeds as soon as they get started. Please welcome in Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I am fantastic, Rob. So excited to be here on the premiere night of Celebrity Big Brother. And I enjoyed this episode. I think we have a good cast on our hands.
Yeah, it seems like a fun group. Excited to talk it all through. And of course, to do that here with us is our own Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here. Premiere night is always just so much fun. Even though we know all the people going in, it's still really fun to see their little introduction segments and then also see them interact with each other for the first time. It's just, I'm so excited for this season.
Okay. We are excited. We are here live to talk about this all here tonight. And we are here to take your questions as well. Hashtag RHAP. Get your questions in. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. We will take them later on in the show. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Happy to have you here. We'll be live after every single episode of Celebrity Big Brother this season. That means five times just this week alone as we get it started here for Celebrity Big Brother 2019. If you are watching us on YouTube or on Twitch, please feel free to subscribe and keep those updates coming. And of course, if you are listening on our podcast feed, you could subscribe when you go to robhaswebsite.com/iTunes for the Rob Has a Podcast full feed, or robhaswebsite.com/BB Podcast for all things Big Brother, which includes Taryn's daily live feed update and the LFC roundtable. And of course, the Winter of Stein, which will be the forecast is calling for the Winter of Stein coming this Thursday. Winter is coming this Thursday for the Winter of Stein with the great Eric Stein. Okay. I guess, Taryn, we got a lot to talk through with this cast, but I think that we had a big thing that we didn't know about coming into tonight, a big twist in terms of this first HOH. And I'm sure that this one is not sitting well with you.
I mean, Rob, when does any twist sit well with me? I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking there must be people in production whose job it is to come up with twists. And basically, the people who run the show are like, well, we have the game. All we need to do is cast them and then film it and we're good. But these people must be convincing the higher ups. No. You need twists. Otherwise the game is going to get stale. Okay. We'll have you come on as consultants once every couple of seasons. We'll mix some things up. And they're like, no. Every week we need something new. You have to hire us full time. We need full time jobs to come up with twist ideas. And I feel like that's where we're getting twist ideas.
So you feel like that the twist industry is just reinforcing this idea to keep themselves employed?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. Melissa, let's just set this up. That this twist, we had the power pair. One person will be the HOH. The person who loses, ironically, will go up on the block. Are you mad at this?
You know, I feel like I'm only not mad because I already expected that I was going to hate it. So it's like, if you already go in thinking you're going to be angry, you don't really get any more angry. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really surprised that it's something that I hate because that was already what I assumed it would be. So I don't like it at all. And I don't think it's fair. But you know, what else are we to expect when it comes to twists in Big Brother?
Yeah. You know, if this was a real season of Big Brother, I think it would probably be worth getting worked up about. But it's Celebrity Big Brother. I mean, what are we going to do? It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, feel like it's a little disappointing that it happened to Jonathan just because, like, he loves, he loves Big Brother. He's very excited to be there. He's probably the most enthusiastic person that we have on this season so far. So, you know, if it were to happen to anyone, I'd probably prefer for it to be to someone who doesn't really care and is just kind of like, eh, I'll take it or leave it. Maybe, namely Joey, probably.
He'd be happy. He'd be happy if that happened. He'd be like, to him.
Thank God.
He'd be one step closer to a private bathroom.
Well, yeah, I mean, you need the private bathroom. And I feel like the private bathroom is still not enough incentive to try and win the first HOH when you had, I think, at least 10 of the house guests coming into this game said in their preseason interviews, I don't want to win the first right. HOH. And so this, like, when the next cast of Celebrity Big Brother watches the first two episodes of Celebrity Big Brother 2, they're going to be like, I definitely don't want to win the first HOH because yeah. then I'll either be one of the nominees or be an HOH who is who has my hands tied behind my back because there's one person on the block that I can't control. So I could nominate one or two other people. I don't know how this is going to work. And then that person could still go home and then I'm doubly screwed.
Yeah. I mean, it's Celebrity Big Brother. What are we going to do? We've gotten some feed leaks this week. We will touch on those later on the show, what information we have gleaned. But I guess let's talk about our first reactions to this cast. Melissa, was there anybody tonight that you feel like was your MVP of this first hour of Celebrity Big Brother?
Oh, that's a tough one because there were some really great people. I mean, but for various reasons, I was very hyped up on Lolo Jones after this episode. I felt like I really loved her diary rooms and how she, you know, already thought that she had a target painted on her back and she was concerned about that and that she just wanted to win. Like, I know it's one of those things where it's like, don't show your athleticism right away. But I thought it was so cool to have two Olympic athletes competing against each other because you know that they want to beat each other. If there's anybody else and they're competing against an Olympic athlete, they're like, okay, forget this. I have no chance. But at least you've got like a real competition going with that. And of course, there were hilarious moments with Tom and with Tamar. Like it was, I mean, I was really, I was very excited about the cast.
Okay. Taryn, did you have an LVP tonight? Was there one person that you felt like this person is a drag on this season?
I can't think of any off the, I guess Dina wasn't much of a presence here. Can't really remember anything that she said or did.
But so. I liked her DR where she was like, I really gravitated towards Anthony, because I didn't remember anyone else's name.
Yes. Classic. Classic.
Oh, I loved it.
Classic. Her head is really in the game here. Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed Tom. I felt like he was the highlight of the episode.
He's like the narrator of the show, Tom Green.
Yeah, immediately. They clearly love him. And for now, I think it's for good reason. I think that both in his diary room sessions and in the house itself, he is giving every scene he's in just a little bit of like oomph that is really helping the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to talk about the grapes moment. That was hilarious. Yeah. Tamar stuffing the grapes in her mouth and he totally catches her doing that.
Yeah. Why was she eating so many grapes? Was it just that when that Kato Kaelin talking about OJ was just like, she was looking like,
she's like, I'm not going to talk about OJ.
Yeah. She's like, I'm just going to stuff my mouth with grapes. And Tom Green is like, have you had enough grapes? Are you having enough grapes? And then
how about these sandwiches?
Would you like a sandwich?
That's a good impression.
Have you seen sandwiches? They have sandwiches. a surprising amount of OJ jokes, I thought, Taryn.
Yeah, there really were. I thought they were mostly going to come from Kato himself with the house guest stuff, but we did get some from Tom as well and from Jonathan.
Yeah. Okay. Some good ones. Okay. Let's talk through these people in the order that we met them and sort of give our reactions to them on night one, whether they were what we expected or maybe different. Melissa, we opened up with Lochte. I was not a big Lochte guy coming in, but I'm pretty excited to have Lochte here on the show after one night.
Yeah, totally. I liked his intro package. I mean, to be fair, they can really edit that intro package to make it seem like they're fun and funny and spontaneous and stuff like that. So, you know, granted, we did not see any of that during the preseason interviews, but I really did like his intro package and I felt more confident about him going into the house. And also, he's a recognizable person. Like, everyone knows who Ryan Lochte is. They know that he's, an amazing athlete. So I think it really gives credence to the fact that this is a really competitive season and people are like, I need to step it up because we have real athletes here. So I thought that was, I'm glad to have him.
And Taryn, the Lochte being dumb was not undersold. That came as advertised.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said preseason that I felt like Lochte, his upside is the new Fessy, and I feel like this is what we're getting, and I'm very happy about that. I feel like they really hit on something good with Fessy, and I think they're recreating it here with Lochte.
Wow, should Fessy run with that, Taryn? Should Fessy be out there as the new Lochte?
Well, no, he's the OG Lochte. He doesn't. He's got the original archetype. He's got something on Lochte here.
So he should be go out there and tell people about how that he is the rich man's Lochte.
Yes. And Rob, coming this spring, the next big brother event.
Yes.
Lochte versus Fessy in a swimming competition. I think it's a
Swaggy C versus Fessy in swimming.
They don't stand a chance.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Swag, he seems to be a lifeguard, right? So maybe he could be, he could take on Lochte.
I don't know. I think the whole thing here is that Fessy is just going to keep challenging other Big Brother alumni to sporting events.
What they're good at, yeah. Okay. Pumped up for Lochte. Now, do we have any idea what type of competition we are expecting, Melissa, when Lochte takes on Jonathan tomorrow night?
I personally have no idea.
Yeah, do you think it's going to be a setup sort of like when Angela and Swaggy C were surfing the web? Is it going to be something like that?
Most likely, yeah. Maybe they'll make them do some more champagne stuff. But I like Tom Green's explanation that they're just going to give them pistols in the middle of the night. That's a good way to end the episode.
Yeah. Taryn, it does feel like that they are trying to recreate that, where if we go back to the Big Brother 20 premiere, I think it might have been 2 hours, where you had one challenge that was won by Angela, one challenge that was won by Swaggy C, and then they had a duel in the end to determine. And this is like, they're like, well, what can we do with the other person? I just put them on the block. Whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I mean, I would expect it to be something along those lines, where it's some kind of endurance. I'm reading in the chat that apparently Heath said it might be something new. I don't know if that's just a new kind of endurance, or maybe it'll be really something new, but I would expect endurance.
Okay. All right. We'll see what comes of it tomorrow night. Eva Marie, a quiet night for Eva Marie on night one, Melissa.
Yeah, that could either be a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, a lot of the time the winner is pretty quiet in the beginning and then turns it on near the end and has the personality near the end when there's less people, because all the big personalities, you know, get taken out pretty early on. But I don't know. It's interesting to see. I was surprised that she wasn't selected at all for the competition.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she looks athletic. She is athletic. And you'd think that if people seem to be selecting athletes, that they'd want to pick her. I saw the logic in some of the selections. I don't know if I saw the logic in Ryan Lochte's selection, because he was like, oh, he's the brains or something. Because
he's a cupcake expert.
He knows a lot about cupcakes.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Melissa.
But quite what I associate it with, a lot of brains. But
okay. This makes perfect sense to me, Melissa. Cupcake expert equals genius. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I think we have to put everything through the Lochte filter, not the pool filter, where that Lochte was zoning out and we were going around, oh, what do you do? He's like, well, I did Mean Girls and I host Cupcake Water. Like, somebody say cupcakes? Oh, this guy knows about cupcakes. Okay. He's a cupcake guy. Okay, well, got it.
Survived the cupcake war.
When he said it, I was like, oh, there must be like some sort of cupcake element to it. And that must be his like, hey, well, he knows about these things. And then I was like looking at the backyard and I was like, I don't see anything with cupcakes involved here. I have no idea what's happening.
You think it's easy to cook a cupcake? You gotta have a recipe. You gotta get all the ingredients. It's like a puzzle almost.
Baking is a science, to be fair.
Yeah. You know, and Jonathan, he not only has to deal with people baking cupcakes around him, but he has to talk at those people and to a camera, which really makes him an expert, in my opinion.
Yes. He's like the Sun Tzu of cupcake war, the art of cupcake war.
Yes.
That competition looked really hard, though. Mainly the swinging. It seemed like if you didn't have long legs, you were really going to struggle with the swinging. I mean, looking at Anthony Scaramucci, that was too funny.
Yeah, the mooch that I talked to Kate Casey on a podcast, and we did another look at the season, and she's like, no, believe me, Anthony Scaramucci is a gym rat. He works out all the time. It's like, well, maybe he skips leg day.
Yeah, I think he skips the workout day, unfortunately.
Literally couldn't move like more than an inch. It was like he was just swinging his legs like a little kid or something.
And he was also like in an oversized suit, which is not a great look. And he completely 100% knew exactly what he looked like. And he's very used to being like the guy in a portrait shot in a tie, like looking as good as you can possibly look. And he was like, oh man, what have I done to myself in my image?
Yeah,
he did look like a giant baby a lot during that challenge.
Giant baby. I was trying to be nice about it, but you know what, we'll just say a giant baby.
Yeah, look, he's been called worse than a giant baby. Okay,
that's true.
Tom Green, we talked about him as the narrator. Melissa, do you feel like that Tom Green has a shot to win this thing?
I hope so. He's in my draft, but no, but for real though, I do think he has a chance. I think that the people seem to be getting along with him, and I think that he could go kind of under the radar, and you know, he was able to keep up. I mean, his team got second place. Yes, he was paired with an Olympian, but it shows that, you know, he wasn't totally incompetent. It seemed like some of these other people could not even get it together, and he was able to do it. So I could absolutely see him going pretty far.
Yeah, I really was impressed with him, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like sort of like the one potential downfall is that if he is cracking jokes that often and poking fun at people every once in a while, that does kind of give the impression that maybe he's a little bit above this or above the people who are around him. That was his problem on the Celebrity Apprentice. And so I think he knows to keep that on the down a little bit. It's very entertaining for us, but if he does it too much, I'd be a little concerned. But I think from what we saw, two thumbs up for Tom Green. I think he's doing well.
Yeah. How great was it when he told the mooch about how they both had been fired by Trump?
Yes, I knew immediately that they were going to bond over that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had that in common. Okay. Lolo Jones, Melissa was high on Lolo tonight. Taryn, have you raised your hurdle for Lolo at all?
Not particularly. I feel like I got nothing new from Lolo, and I wasn't super high on her to begin with, and that hasn't really gone anywhere.
Yeah, but she said that I need to try to weaken the target on me. I'm gonna pick Tom Green because he'll be goofing off during this challenge. Right.
That's what she said preseason, and that's what she said on this episode. So that was nothing new. And then she proceeded to fail in her only objective of the episode, which was to intentionally lose, and she tried to win and then lost having tried to win, which is the worst thing you can do.
Crush, destroy, kill.
Yeah, she got it. She's competitive, Taryn.
What are you gonna, you know, you don't do three Olympics without being competitive.
Yeah. She was one of 10 Olympians to compete in those two competitions. Taryn, was there controversy about this fact on social media this week?
A lot of people are very up in arms about the fact that she is not one of 10 Olympians to compete in both the Summer and Winter Games, because they are not hearing the part where she's saying she's one of 10 American Olympians to compete in both the Summer and Winter Olympics in two separate sports. That's another thing that it's contingent upon. But it is true from what I've seen on Wikipedia by people posting articles intending to prove her wrong.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Cato, Kaelin, Melissa. That I said that I thought he would do well coming into the season, and you were the real dissenting voice on Cato, Kaelin. You said this guy is so annoying. And
I didn't quite say that aggressively.
Look, there's no Cato stands out there at this point. Okay, well, we could say it. And you said that I could not live with this person, and I kind of see it now.
Yeah, thank you. you know, I just got the vibe. I was just like, this guy is going to talk your ear off with a bunch of like half-baked jokes. And
no, that's Ricky Williams.
A little bit of both. But I just don't see him getting along with everyone very well. And I felt like they were going to be like, let's get this guy out of here already because he's just too annoying to live with. I just can't.
Yeah, I just felt like that he's so in your face with the jokes. And I said that he's kind of like Austin Powers. He's just like, yeah, baby. Yeah, I got my key. That's the first time I had the key to a house. Right. Because I was in the OJ house. Right. That's remember?
Also, hearing him do his like serious talk about like. The thing is about the OJ thing is like hearing him do it for the second time. I was like, oh, this is rehearsed.
Like, it's like his thing.
Yeah.
People bring it up. He's like, I can't change the past.
Yeah, so, you know, it's regrettable. But
it's a little strange because it's like a marked difference from his normal voice where he's like, hey, I'm and then he's like, it's a thing. Like, I can't change the past. It's, and I can't go back. And you're regrettable. Like, are you mocking me? What's happening here?
It's really terrible. But remember when I was famous?
I was a house guest.
Oh, Rob, you're being annoying. You need to stop.
Sorry,
please, Rob.
Take us out.
It's you're being just like any other fan. You are not on this podcast, Rob. You need to stop.
Okay. Caitlin, are we surprised he did not get picked by anybody?
No.
Caitlin, I was also very surprised for Celebrity Big Brother this is a fun game. How many Twitter followers does Caitlin have on Twitter, Taryn? How many people follow Caitlin on Twitter?
I don't know, like 20,000.
Let's do a little Price's Rourke. Okay. All right. 20,000, Taryn says. Okay. Melissa, how many Twitter followers does Caitlin verified on Twitter?
Like
15,000. 15,800
Wow. All right. I got
less than me.
And his Twitter bio.
More followers than a Celebrity Big Brother house guest.
Yeah.
Wow, and celebrity.
Eva said that she does a podcast, which made me think I have more followers than Cato. I have a podcast. Hey, I could be on Celebrity Big Brother.
What the heck? Why is Taryn? Forget real Big Brother. Get him on Celebrity.
Yeah. Taryn, all you got to do is rent out a room from the next person to commit a huge murder. And you'll be set. Yeah. Eric Stein right there with Caitlin also at 12,000. So right there. Right there.
Yeah.
Caitlin's Twitter bio, former house guest, current adult, but now living behind my own house. So he lives, lives behind his own house. Okay. There you go. Caitlin. Okay.
Okay.
All right. One of the people that I really was very pleasantly surprised by tonight was Tamar Braxton. I had not been a fan that I'm still waiting to binge all of Braxton Family Values. But Melissa, I thought she was great tonight.
Oh, yeah, I loved her. I mean, I loved her in the interviews, too. So I wasn't surprised that I really liked her DR sessions. But, you know, people were saying that if she gets down to the end and Candy is out and Candy sees some of these DR sessions, it might not be great for Tamar, but you know, I really liked her and I hope she goes pretty far.
Yeah. Taryn, do you think that Tamar and Candy will be able to bury the hatchet? I think that was an interesting storyline tonight where that they talked about how that they knew each other, but they did not love each other. And then we had that interesting moment where Tamar and Candy had to work together and it looked like that. Okay. Well, maybe they're going to be able to work things out, but then it did not go great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we reported preseason that they did apparently have beef. That is definitely the case on the show, but Tamar did show a willingness to try and work together. I think that says a lot. There is a level of familiarity there that can work in their favor, especially since I don't know if either of them have many connections outside of each other. A lot of people came in with one or two people that they knew beforehand, particularly Jonathan, who knew like four of them. So if they're the only two that know each other, then they kind of have to be like, I know we don't like each other much, but we gotta work together a little bit. And the fact that we have beef means that people will think we hate each other and won't work with each other. So that's something that we can work with. Is it likely? Probably not. But I think it is a possibility if they manage to survive a few evictions.
I think the history is against them on this. I feel like that we have more times than not where on these reality shows where two people don't trust each other and it's like, I don't think I can trust them, but let me give it a shot. And then as soon as anything happens, like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew I couldn't trust you. And then it's a whole blow up, Melissa.
Yeah. And I mean, I did really like Tamar's strategy where she picked her to be her partner, just like to extend an olive branch and be like, hey, you know, let's put the past behind us. We can still work together. But then when they were not doing very well, it was not the best reaction on Tamar's part. I mean, she should have just been like, if she was really like using this as an opportunity to bond with her and be like, hey, this is, let's bury the hatchet. She should have just been like, it's okay, we got this. Like, don't worry about it. It's hard, you know, whatever, just to get like the friendship back. But instead, I feel like now they're even more, they're worse off than they were before, because now Candy's like, Tamar is getting pissed off at me because I'm not doing well. So like, this isn't going to work. And so it kind of backfired a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about then. We got to the second group and we saw Joey Lawrence come into the house. Taryn, you were high on Joey Lawrence in the preseason. How'd you feel about Joey tonight?
I mean, I have come down on Joey in regards to how I felt about him preseason.
Why?
But I still feel like he is a lot higher than a lot of people were giving.
Ricky Williams yesterday?
Yes. A lot of people thought he wasn't going to be playing the game or trying. I don't think that's the case. I think that he is here and I think that he's here to play. However, he definitely seems like he has a bit of an ego to him. And yes. I got that sense here. There was, you know, even talking about the bathroom stuff, it just seemed like, you know, he does have this attitude that makes him seem like he is above the game. I don't think that means he's not going to play though. And I think that's important. So I have come down, but I think everyone else should have come up by now.
Okay. Well, so first thing that bothered me about Joey Lawrence tonight is he wouldn't say his catchphrase.
Whoa.
They had to go to file footage. He says, maybe I'll say it if I win. I'm going to save it. Look, if we go see a band, well, we don't want to hear the new stuff.
He wants the hits.
Play the hits. And everybody else knows play the hits. Kato Kaelin, that he's only doing OJ stuff. Okay. That everybody else, Jonathan's only making Mean Girls jokes. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody knows play the hits, Joey.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, I get that you're like, that's behind me now. But is it though? Because that's what people really know you from. So I'm a little surprised that he didn't just go ahead and say it. I mean, you're supposed to be doing like a retrospective of your career during that little intro package and be like, this is what I'm known for. And he didn't do it. He didn't want to do it. And it's not like it's really, he's above that now. So I think.
No, he's a producer now.
Oh, yes, of course. Big name.
Well, producer. Start producing some woes. Okay.
I think that's something that both Joey and the Mooch are sort of learning, which is that Big Brother is not a show where you can maintain your dignity. Big Brother is a show where you get on and the producers make you dance for the audience like little puppets and they dress you up in oversized suits.
Yeah.
Very true. Okay. Although it seems like the Mooch himself dresses himself in oversized suits. I was noticing that. They're very...
Is his suit oversized?
Hidden neck.
Maybe he lost a lot of weight to go on the show.
Possibly, but you know, it's like you're watching this for a lot of it. Keep your eye out for it. You'll notice okay, it.
Maybe he just doesn't like his neck. Maybe it's intentional.
All right, we'll color the mooch and his neck in a little bit. I want to talk about Joey Lawrence and the bathroom situation. It seemed like that tonight, yeah, the real selling point for Joey Lawrence about that HOH was that he had a bathroom.
So the stakes for this first HOH competition are huge. I mean, not only are you going to be safe and you get to put someone up on the block, you vote it off, but you also get your own room and your own bathroom to just do bathroom things. Which is so nice.
What is Joey Lawrence talking about, Taryn?
I think Joey Lawrence is a bit of a neat freak. And so I think he's thinking, I want to be able to go in the bathroom and do bathroom things like scrub the floors and you know, make sure everything's nice and spotless. I can set up some push-up areas. It'll be great.
I think he has a lot of personal grooming that he does.
I gotta get in that bathroom. He wants to do it in bathroom stuff
so that nobody sees what exactly that personal grooming is.
Yeah. Paintbrush.
A paintbrush, maybe.
I need to get in there, do my stuff in there. Nobody can see.
I don't remember. Like, now I'm a little like foggy in terms of like. I don't remember watching him. Did he always talk in that weird sort of like grovelly whisper?
Hey, I'm talking to my sexy Joey Lawrence voice now. I don't say, whoa, Joey. I talk like this now. That's how I talk now.
I came up with that word back then, and it was like, I guess, a catchphrase thing, but I'm not going to do it anymore.
The audience laughed at it because it was so hilarious, but now I'm serious.
Genius. Well, I mean, what can I say?
Look me up on Cameo.
And then Joey Lawrence again had a second callback to the bathroom stuff.
I mean, if Ricky and I don't turn this around, my dreams of a private bathroom stall are to go down the toilet.
He's obsessed with it, I think. Maybe, you know what? Maybe he doesn't know what comes with being HOH. And that's really all he knows is that you get your own bathroom. Like someone must have said like, oh yeah, you get a room and it has its own bathroom. And he just is like, okay, so that's all I know about HOH. I have to keep like harping on anything I know in the diary room because he just doesn't know that you have to like nominate people or anything. I just feel like he knows nothing about the show. So it would make sense if the only thing he knows is the bathroom thing.
Yeah, I like the idea of him going full Sam and just if he won HOH, just like nobody is allowed in my bathroom.
That's the perks of the private bathroom.
Nobody's allowed in there unless I'm in there as well.
In my private bathroom stall.
Look, we can do bathroom stuff together, but not by yourself.
Okay. Next up in the group of the second group, we got to see Dina Lohan. Melissa, any thoughts on D-Lo?
I don't know yet. I feel like I'm just waiting to see. I feel like we're not getting the full picture because, you know, she was one of the main, I mean, she made Lindsay Lohan's career. She is like the ultimate stage mom type
momager
thing, besides Chris Jenner. But, you know, I feel like we're not getting the full picture because there is no way that Lindsay Lohan as a child and all her other kids get to be doing stuff in Hollywood without that sort of like pressure, competitive mentality, that go, 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 that drive. And I feel like we're just getting this like sweet, like, I'm a mom, I don't know their names. And I'm just waiting to see the gloves come off and the real Dina Lohan to come out.
Are you saying that Lindsay Lohan did not have the talent and drive on her own?
Okay,
are you shading Lindsay Lohan?
No, Parent Trap Lindsay Lohan is a genius.
Okay.
She is a genius.
She's a genius. She knows so much about switching places with people. She's a genius.
She did a British accent, Taryn.
Did she make any cupcakes? I don't know.
she came up with Oreos and peanut butter, a classic combination. It became super popular after that.
I knew a bunch of girls that tried it way before her. Okay. It was probably after. It was after.
I liked the part in her opening B-roll where she was just on the phone listing her daughter's accomplishments. Like, well, I've got Lindsay doing this thing and Allie's over here doing her thing. Like, that would be a conversation that anybody would have on the phone.
My mom would probably have that conversation. We got Melissa doing this and Michael doing that.
Yeah, but it was like
off all of our stuff.
They were like pretending that this was like a business call. Like she was doing her momager stuff, just like introducing them to all of her daughters and all of their accomplishments.
You could just say it to the camera, but
yeah, quiet night for Dila. I think we got to wait for the alcohol to show up to get something out of her. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Jonathan Bennett. Taryn, that was your first pick in the draft. Jonathan, I thought had a solid night other than potentially going to be up on the block when he loses a competition to Lochte.
He had the best night of any of them up until the final 30 seconds when it turned out to be potentially the worst night of all of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fortunes rise and fortunes fall. But I thought he did pretty well apart from the twists.
Yes. Melissa, do you agree that Jonathan did everything right up until he did the wrong thing happened to him?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he wasn't as over the top as I thought he was going to be in the house. I mean, it's possible they just weren't showing us a lot of his stuff in the house. But I was very nervous he was going to get in there and just be so out there that people were going to get turned off. But it seemed like people seem to really like him. I mean, he was picked first for the competition, so that's got to mean something if you go by elementary gym class. And, you know, I just felt like I loved his reactions in the beginning when various celebrities were coming in, like when the Mooch came in and he was like, oh my God. It was, the widest eyes I've ever seen. So I really liked seeing that because, you know, I always thought that in the, like backstage when they're waiting to be called on that they were kind of mixing and mingling with each other, like, or at least could see each other like, oh, hey, you're here. Okay, cool. Now we're about to all go on. But it kind of gives me the impression. I mean, it's possible that it's just totally fake, but it gave me the impression that it's possible that they were handled by handlers separately. And then they bring them in one at a time. So that really is the first time that they see each other on that stage.
Yeah. Tara, what do you think? You think that is how it works?
I think so. I mean, there's no reason to not do it that way, especially if they want like big reactions, which I'm sure they did. So, I don't see any reason to doubt that.
OK. Also, Jonathan had the sickest burn on OJ and Cato Kalin of the night tonight, I thought.
Cato Kalin is going to be a tough one to beat because he survived the hardest head of household ever.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing OJ jokes.
Hey, that's the we're doing it. Look, we just report on the show, okay? Don't add us.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know. That was Cato in his prime. Who knows what he's capable of now?
Surviving. Block.
He's getting yelled at by Eva. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Candy, who I don't know, Melissa. I thought she was a little low energy tonight.
Yeah, a little lackluster, I guess. But it's also possible that we were just seeing so much Tamar and Tom Green that it kind of got overshadowed. Mm-hmm. I feel like they were really showcasing those two as like the personalities. So, and also Jonathan Bennett a little bit. I do think that maybe I think we'll see more of her. I think she has more to give. But the little bits that I saw of her, I really liked. I'm just a little nervous for her with the Tamar drama. So I don't know, because it seemed like she was more willing to bury the hatchet in the DRs. It's, who knows, maybe Tamar was playing it up. But I did feel like she was like, we had our good times. We also had our bad times. So hopefully, we're good. But I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, I think the show picked sides tonight, and I think they chose Tamar.
We're Team Tamar.
I think that's what's going on here. I think that Tamar has given them more of what they want, and so it would not surprise me if Tamar is the hero of the story.
Now, Taryn, do you think it's possible that Big Brother will bring back Gina Maria this season to perform Candy's hit of I Don't Want No Scrubs?
I mean, I don't. Do they have any chicken parm there? Is
I don't want no scrubs. You ain't gonna get no chicken and parm from me.
I don't know. I mean, I can't remember the name of the guy that she was obsessed with. But if he was there,
Nick Juhas.
Nick Juhas. There it is.
Taryn, you never forget a name.
I try. How can you forget Nick Juhas and his science videos?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Ricky Williams. We got to see Melissa. Ricky Williams. He's a healer. Yeah. Sign him up for the next Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers now.
He's a healer now, you know.
Knock, knock.
I liked him. I liked him a lot more than I liked him in the interviews. Not that I didn't like him in the interviews. He was just kind of forgettable, but I felt like he did a good job. And I was a little nervous that he was going to come in and not be super into it and not really care about the game. But it does seem that like he is in it to win it. And I think that the fact that he, you know, he's an athlete, I think that will certainly help with his competitiveness. So I like him so far.
Yeah, I don't really remember him doing anything inside the house once he got there.
He looked adorable on the swing. He had a big grin on his face as he just rocked back and forth. He was just like, oh, this is so much fun. Yeah. I loved it.
And he also, too, had a great line.
I look down and I'm like, wow, I haven't been this high since yesterday.
In Sequester, Ricky Williams. Okay. All right. And then the Mooch. The Mooch. I thought that the Mooch did not have a great landing, Taryn.
No, I don't think he did. Like I said, I feel like he came in this expecting maybe something a little bit different. And I think that he seemed a little bit grumpy once he entered the house. And I think that a lot of it has to do with how ridiculous he knew he looked on that swing. And I think he knows that that's going to be in his life forever now. Especially, you know, with his opening statement, he's like, I know a lot of people hate me. It's like, you just gave him a lot of ammunition with that image. And the longer you stay in this game, the more ammunition they're going to have.
Yeah, Melissa, I felt like that the Mooch was a little one note tonight, where it was a lot of like, hey, I know what a cable news interview is, but I had no idea what an HOH competition is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to be getting a lot of those. It's going to be a lot of that and a lot of like, hey, if I can get fired by the president of the United States, then XYZ or like, you know, he'll.
Then I can win the power of veto. The president uses the veto all the time.
Yeah, I know about veto power. I was in the government or whatever, you know, he's going to be making all those sorts of jokes and he's going to be, you know, talking about the amount of time he spent at the White House and the Mooch jokes. Like, oh, we're going
to. Where I come from, it's a good thing to be nominated. You get nominated for the Supreme Court. It's a good thing. Not, you know, I get nominated to be on the block.
We should write down a bunch of these and send them in. I'm sure CBS will use them all.
He really, like, every opportunity he had, he wanted to remind you that he was a successful businessman. And like, look, in real life, I'm better than all of these scrubs. But in this game, I'm, you know, things are not like, oh, I was really letting Dina down in the competition. So when we get on the outside, I'll buy her some really expensive champagne because I'm successful. Remember that.
Because I can do that.
Yeah. How much was the champagne taunting Dina Lohan just out of arm's reach? Almost so close. So
close. I just felt like, so, okay, I feel like the competition was being made a lot harder than it needed to be because everyone just kept throwing it like they were on Real Housewives or whatever, like throwing it at the person. It's like, you can't grab anything if you're just tossing it like that. If you can't get the swing to go close enough, wait till you do the next swing and then try and maneuver it in. But do it, just splashing it in their face is like literally not going to help at all.
Yeah, well, I don't think you understand that some people like Candy have short T-Rex arms, Melissa.
It did look like it was tailored towards people who were longer bodied. We have Ryan Lochte over there, who's like literally, I don't even know, like 10 feet tall, who knows? And he was having no problem. But you have all these other people, I would have been terrible at this. I saw the writing on the wall. I would have been just as bad as the Mooch.
When they did this on Big Brother 16, they had the two swingers facing each other, as opposed to the other way. I think it was a lot easier when they're facing each other.
Okay, Darren, it's just not going to sound right. There was no way that sentence was going to end well.
Yeah. Okay. Melissa, did you like it when Tom Green, or would you like when Kato Kaelin was getting advice on how to cheer from Eva Marie when he was told he was a non-supportive cheerer?
I don't know. I feel like I felt bad for them over there because they had probably had to watch that for like 5 hours. I don't know how long it took, but it seemed like it took forever. And I feel like it would be so beyond boring to just sit there and watch these people compete like that. And also, why? Like, do we at all know why they decided to sit two people out instead of just like, it's not like they had like one extra person. They couldn't pair them up. They had another pair. Did they just like set up five stations or whatever? And then they were like, forget it. It's too much effort.
Yes.
Melissa. Job security. We already solved this. They need ideas. They need to justify.
It doesn't make any sense why those two people had to sit out.
Yeah. So, Taryn, for people that are taking notes, the future celebrities, when they go back and watch this, so they need to not get picked for the first competition. Be as annoying as possible in the opening minutes so that nobody picks them and they don't accidentally win the competition and end up on the block.
Yes. Don't win. And if you can, don't even compete. That's the rule going in. Just do everything. Smart. Dude, come at last.
Not the lesson. This is not what we want them to learn.
Okay.
And they really are only going to watch the first two episodes.
Like Lochte.
So that like seemed to be the trend this year. So next year, whatever happens in these two episodes is going to dictate next season.
Okay.
Next season. All right. We need somebody to sit out of the first stage. Oh, me.
Yeah. All of us.
We should also mention here that Julie, we had not seen her really anywhere since the Big Brother 20 finale. Melissa, did you think that Julie seemed in good spirits tonight?
I did. I thought she looked beautiful as well.
Yeah. I thought she seemed a little, I feel like that we didn't get anything extra. I mean, I guess she was in like a normal Chenbot mode, but I felt like that she didn't give us any peek behind the curtain, Taryn.
No. Oh, well, of course not.
Yeah.
It's an iron curtain.
Only eviction night we might get that. I mean, that's where she shows a little bit of personality, but I don't even really think we got like a joke or anything light from Julie tonight.
She's all business now.
She's all business. Okay.
All business.
And yeah, still Julie Chen Moonves. So I think
I was very surprised that was a thing. That still is a thing.
Still is a thing.
So I'll leave it at that.
Still a thing. Joey Lawrence won't say whoa, but Julie's keeping Julie Chen Moonves.
Yeah, I mean, really, I feel like a mistake to do it in the first place, because now once she stops, that's a new message. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If she keeps going, it's also a message. She's really put herself in a corner here.
She really should have just kept it Julie Chen. That's the way it's been since the beginning of time.
Would have been so
she
easy.
Could, she could just go first name. I'm like, I think I'm so huge now. I'm just Julie. I'm the Julie.
I could absolutely see that happening at some point.
Call me like, Julie.
Welcome to Big Brother. I'm Julie.
Yeah. Like Omarosa. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. All right. So we want to get into some questions from the listeners. #RHAP. That's if you ever want to get your questions into the show. Use that hashtag on Twitter and we'll bring your questions in. And Scott St. Pierre's got them ready to go. Anything else before we get into the questions? Okay. All right. Taryn, by the way, I guess we'll do some live feed spoilers also. So questions and then live feeds.
Yes, we do have. We have just a few little like live feed previews to get into that we maybe know a little bit about some of what's happening in the house, and a lot of it's speculation. So,
okay, all right, let's go to the questions, and let's start with this one. This is from Jazz, who says, "Do you think that Candy and Tamar will be rivals this season, or will they have an enemies to friends storyline?" I feel like that the enemies to friends storyline is very, very rare.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's possible. I think that it depends on how long they're in the house for. I think that if one of them goes out early, then they will be enemies the whole time. If one of them goes out like midway, then they could be enemies to friends. And then one of them goes out. If both of them stay the whole time, then I think they'll go enemies to friends to enemies. And that'll be the most interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I could definitely see it being a situation where they're like, you know, one of the final two people, you know, one of the final remaining people. And they're like, we need to work together. Like, I know we haven't been getting along this whole game, but we need to, you know, put all that aside because we are our only chance to move forward. And I love storylines like that. So I really hope that that's what they do.
Because here's the thing, like in real life, when you have beef with somebody, you can just leave and the beef just stays there and you don't like them. And sometimes you're forced to interact, but then you get to leave again. In the Big Brother house, you're forced to live with that person. You're forced to talk to them about the problems that you have. The more you talk to somebody about the problems that you have, the more likely you are to get over those problems. So, you know, if anything is capable of reuniting these two star-crossed friendships, then that didn't work. But the Big Brother can make it happen.
Anything can happen. It's a house of miracles. Okay. Let's take a question from our great friend, Nikki. Was Jonathan greeting all the other house guests like a fanboy a good move to stroke their decently sized egos? Melissa, what do you think about the way that Jonathan reacted to everybody besides the mooch?
Totally. I think that his reactions to everybody is exactly what you need to be doing in this sort of house. I was thinking about it, actually. I was thinking, like, what do you do if you're in the house and you don't know what one of the people is famous for? Like, because that's a situation where it's like, normally you can ask the person, like, oh, what do you do? But in this situation, I feel like that would be really offensive to some people. Like, oh, you're in the celebrity Big Brother house, but I've literally never heard of you or what you do. And I feel like it would be a situation where you just wait until maybe it gets brought up at some point what they do, when you try and just like glean the information from context or something. Because I feel like that's a death sentence to ask somebody, what are you famous for in this sort of situation? Mm-hmm. So I thought he did a great job.
Yeah. Was it Lolo, Taryn, that didn't know who Kato Kaelin was?
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, doesn't surprise me.
Why? She's not she's what, 36 years old, right?
Yeah. That's like one of the youngest people in the house.
Yeah. I mean, 36 year old, I feel like, would know Kato Kaelin.
Well, sure. But there's like four 30 somethings in the house and she's one of them. So at least one of those four. And we know that Jonathan seems to know who these people are. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Lolo's a good shot here.
Okay.
It's possible also that because he looks so different, anyone who may have known him in the past would not recognize him to this day. And maybe they just didn't remember his name. But I will say that with all the OJ, you know, resurgence these past couple of years with all the documentaries and all the, yes, you know, the American Horror Story,
the golden age of OJ
thing. It's really the golden age of OJ at this point. But you know, then the recent or sentencing trial or whatever it was. And so, you know, everyone knows about it now. Everyone who, or at least you would suspect that everyone knows about it. And I think I would hope it maybe has something to do with the way he looks.
Okay.
Short hair versus Fabio.
Yeah, he was like a young David Gurton in his prime.
Okay. Look, I think bottom line is we know that you cannot be a genius if you did not follow the OJ case. That's required learning for any human being at this point, and it's definitely a requirement to attain genius status.
Okay, let's take this question, and this is from Torrance Armstrong. Wants to know, will Woe become the new Let's Go?
Woe!
No, Woe is the new anti Let's Go. That Woe is like the Voldemort of the Big Brother house, where it will not be said by Joey Lawrence. He will not say his catchphrase. Let's Go is the opposite of that. Let's Go is the catchphrase that you only say punctuate every sentence with Let's Go.
Yeah, you don't say. Don't say the Woe word. It's not a good thing to say. It's fine if you say it in the normal tone, but you cannot say it the way that I say it. That's my catchphrase. Trademark. And I'm not saying it until I win. That's how I'm getting CBS to make me win, because then I'll say my catchphrase and that's when I know they won. So really, you are not allowed to say it that way.
Let's Go. Let's Woe.
I think if anybody says whoa to Joey in the house,
he will punch them in the face.
They will automatically become a target to him. And I don't think he will ever work with them. I really just, I get the feeling that he's like, feels like he's, that is just so far behind him and that he's just so annoyed by it.
Yeah.
How dare you? I am going to go do some bathroom stuff. And then when I come back, you're going to be so sorry.
Okay. This is a question from our own Mike Bloom. Mike Bloom Izzle says, I nominate Cato yelling, "That's golf," as the first sound clip of the BB Celeb season. OJ Simpson famously loves golf as well. Did you guys like seeing Cato on the golf course?
Did we see Cato on the golf course?
It stuck out. It was, look, if there is a CBB, B&B, Mike has a segment planned for Cato on the golf course. Okay. All right. Let's talk to Edward Morris, who says, did you guys feel like the house guests were amused or annoyed by Tom Green? Listen, was the Tom Green magic working?
I felt like it was both. I felt like when he kept asking about the sandwiches, they were like, "What the heck? No, thank you. I'm fine on the sandwiches.
Would you like a sandwich? Can I get you one?"
I just, that's a really good question. But I felt like that when he started asking about the sandwiches and you could see their reactions being like, no, thank you. I'm good on the sandwiches. I was like, this is going to go real bad real quick. But then he did the joke about the grapes and then the joke about the, you know, the pistols. And I felt like those jokes were very well received. So it could just be like, you have to be with him for a set amount of time and then really understand his humor. And then you really like it, or maybe you're annoyed with it. It could go either way, but I'm hopeful that the house guests like his humor.
Yeah.
I think the edit is implying that it's going over well, because they're showing it like it's going over well, which, you know, obviously we can't see everything yet. So I would be inclined to believe that, that it's doing well.
I think he's the kind of guy also that the more you're around him, the more you're on his frequency, where it's like, I think that when you just run into him, it's like, wait, that was so awkward. That was so weird. Mm-hmm. But then I think when you sort of start to get him, when you're around him for a while, and I think that, that he will, like, especially if he can survive this first week, I think he'll have his legs under him. I think he'll do well as long as he wants to be there. Let's go to Mr. Robot Taran. We're gonna hit all the Taran parody accounts tonight. Mr. Robot Taran says, what is worse, Taran's draft picks or Candy's performance in the HOH competition?
Candy's performance, because I'm gonna win the draft and then everyone's gonna have to say sorry to me.
Yes. Yes. Taran was known for his very long arms in the draft for all of the reaches that he had.
Right. I feel like I've already been proven right. Jonathan was doing well. And
he did do well. He did do
fair
well
to play.
Yes. Okay. All right. I got a long question. This one is from, is this from Ninto? With the new twist where Ryan and Jonathan might automatically be nominated, do you think that we'll see future BB players throw all the competitions that are played in teams? I feel like this might damage any future team competitions due to paranoia, even if BB never brings this twist back. I think it's Celebrity Big Brother. I don't think they would do this in a real season, Taran.
I mean, I would hope not, but I would never say never to a bad idea on Big Brother.
Yeah. So I don't think so. I don't think we're going to see it, Melissa.
Sorry, my Alexa keeps talking to me.
We didn't hear it.
Okay.
I mean, I think that if I were playing on Big Brother in the next couple of seasons, I would personally be wary of winning a team competition.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people go in and say, I don't want to win the first HOH anyway. So I think that's just may be more incentive for people not to want any part of that first HOH. All right. Why don't we get into talking about some of these leaks from the spoilers or from the live feeds all week long that Big Brother has been teasing. They give us like, 10, 15 minutes at a time of the celebrities on the live feed. So we've gotten a little bit of a glimpse into the house. So for the first time here in Celebrity Big Brother, we're going to give you some spoilers. Just Taran, if people are saying like, I don't know if I want to stay or when I want to go, what are the types of things that we're going to hear about? Are we going to hear the nominees?
No, we do not know the nominees. We have an idea of who is the HOH, but apart from that, there's not a ton that we know.
Okay, so not a ton that we know. All right, so if you're skidding, just hang out. We'll find out more tomorrow night. But in the meantime, let's talk about our Big Brother Celebrity 2019 spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right. It's been so long since we did a Big Brother podcast that the buzzer was all the way over there. Okay.
Oh, no.
Got it. All right. So, all right. Taryn, what do we know at this hour?
We have a pretty good idea that Ryan is going to become the HOH. The first live feed preview we had.
Yeah.
Had Cato asking Ryan or telling Ryan, hey, I had them make me a copy of the HOH key so I don't have to keep asking you for it. Whether or not that was a joke, probably was. It still implies that Ryan was the HOH. Obviously, Ryan being one of the two people who is in contention for it right now, heavy implication there that Ryan is, in fact, our current HOH. So pretty confident about that.
Okay. So does that imply that Jonathan will be on the block tomorrow?
Probably, yes. There was no indication that Jonathan was on the block based on the three live feed previews that we saw. He seemed to be pretty comfortable just in his social interactions. He seems to be working with Ryan at the moment, as well as Joey and potentially like these people like Mooch and maybe Tom. So it seems like he's in a decent position despite the fact that he may be on the block. Maybe he's been taken off the block by this point. Who knows? However, I would imagine he is going on the block tomorrow night.
Okay. So based on what we saw, do we know the timeline of events that have we seen after the veto has been played?
I think so. I mean, I'm assuming that Wednesday night is going to be eviction night.
Friday night is going to be eviction night.
Friday night is eviction night.
Wednesday we'll see the veto. Friday will be a live eviction.
Okay. Okay, so that's different than last season.
So tomorrow we'll see this competition, and then I believe we'll get the nominees. And Melissa, correct me if I'm wrong on this. I believe that Julie said that on Wednesday we'll see the first power of veto, and Friday will be our first live eviction.
I am not sure.
Yeah, I never listened to Julie, unfortunately.
I know, I don't either.
I'm just waiting to see if she says Julie Chen Moonves.
Chat confirmed that for us, but I believe that was the schedule. I believe it was a single eviction. It was not a double eviction coming up.
Okay, well, if that's the case, they need to have the veto played and the ceremony had to have gone through by at least tomorrow. So I assume that the veto has been played. The ceremony was probably some point today or tomorrow at the latest.
Okay, all right. So maybe it's possible that he could have won, but we don't know exactly when the ceremony happened. Okay. So, Melissa, is anything else known about other potential nominees?
I don't know anything about the nominees. I had heard that there was confirmation. I don't know what the confirmation was, but there was confirmation that they weren't. People were surprised that there was no game talk going on during these little previews. But then we got confirmation that they are, or at least a hint that they're not supposed to talk game when these previews are going on. Mm-hmm. Which would make sense as to why we literally weren't hearing anything. Because normally, you know, you'd hear some sort of talk about the nominees or the veto or anything, but we weren't getting any of that. So, you know, I think that they were doing that on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah. We did get from Dina talking to Tom and Candy. She said, hey, Julie could come on any second and just say, you three are off the block and you three are on the block.
Yes.
Implying that there will be three nominations. I assume that means that Jonathan was one of them. And then Ryan nominates an additional two people. So I would expect three nominations to happen. Some people took that to mean that Dina and Candy were potentially on the block, or that all three of them were potentially on the block, which is theoretically possible if Jonathan came off. But I'm not sure that's necessarily the case at this point.
How do we feel about three nominees, Taryn?
I don't like it. I feel like they've tried more than two nominees so many times and it never works. It always leads to bad things. I don't know why they keep trying it. It's really like they're bringing back all the fan favorite twists. Pairs, more than two.
Battle of the Block?
Like, just wait for Battle of the Block to come. It's, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I don't know. Melissa, is there any value in three nominees? Like, is it possible that causes more celebrities to freak out? Was there any value where maybe in the celebrity season it could pay dividends?
Maybe, but I don't see how. I wanted to just stick with the two nominees. I feel like three always ends up being strange, and I don't like it. It never ends up giving anything to the game. There never really ends up being like great drama or great strategy. I feel like they really just should stick with two nominees.
Yeah, but we could end up in a scenario, Taryn, where two of the three nominees both want to get voted out, where we could have two celebrities both want to be the person that gets voted out.
Now that would be crazy.
Yes.
Assuming there'd be quits so early that they were like, let's just get those quitters out right away.
Weed them out. Right. Ricky Williams, like, yeah. What? Weed them out.
It's possible. I mean, for more than two nominees, it works more often in the first week than it does in other weeks. So if they do it for 1 week and then they stop, that's probably best case scenario. And it gives the most chance for it to work. But even then, like it's so rare that more than two nominees works. It just gives the majority a chance to get a nominee in there when the minority wins HOH. And if the majority wins HOH, it doesn't matter. So it's just silly.
Taryn, anything else that you caught on the live feeds that you want to highlight tonight?
Yeah, so we did see Kato and Eva talking. That was when Kato said that they're not allowed to talk shop. And so that's sort of been confirmed now. They were talking about next week and how it was going to be a busy week. Makes sense that they were talking since they were both immune this week for having sat out of the HOH competition. Also, when Joey, Jonathan, and Ryan were talking outside of the back bedroom that's closed off, they indicated that they were working together. They talked about a little bit of stuff that you probably wouldn't talk about if you were working together,
like bathroom stuff.
Like some bathroom stuff, like, push-ups, some cable flies. Mm-hmm. But they talked about that bedroom, the one that has Tamar, Lolo, Ricky, and Dina, I think. Right? No, there's another one. Not
Dina. Okay. It's okay. It's night, yes. Night one, Taryn. You'll get it.
Hopefully somebody in the chat can help me out there with the third woman. But there are three women and Ricky that we saw move into that bedroom. They said, hey, they're all over the place. Sometimes they're screaming. Sometimes they're like laughing out loud like crazy. They are definitely in an alliance, calling out Lolo, Ricky, Tamar, and Eva. Eva was the other person in that bedroom. Thank you. So they are either potentially in an alliance together or just the Jonathan, Joey, Ryan contingent thinks they're in an alliance together. Mm-hmm. Either way, it seems like there's a little bit of two sides of the house happening right now. I don't know if Ricky is a part of that. Maybe it's a gender thing, but maybe Ricky is a part of that. Who knows? But that seems to be the two sides of the house at the moment based on that one little comment.
Okay. Melissa, do you think that Joey and Ryan worked out what show Ryan knows Joey from?
Was Joey in Tim the Toolman Taylor?
Yeah.
That's definitely just a character on a show and not Home Improvement. But, I hope so. But if he asks Joey what he's from, then, he's going to get in trouble with Joey. So
you can't even ask him what he's from?
No, you can't ask any of these celebrities what they're from. Do you know how insulting that is?
So what do you have to act cool? So does he just do like the, hey, tool time, huh?
Huh? Huh? They're like, I love tools. Yeah. It's like, what do you guys think of Tim Allen or something?
Yeah. Lottie knows Tim Allen.
Yeah. I was working on my deck the other day and I figured, you know, Joey, he'd know what tool I need for this project, right, Joey?
Mm-hmm. And Joey'd be like, "Hey, we're in a house that's like home improvement, right?"
Right. So yeah, that is one thing I've been talking about. Joey mentioned working out. Joey has been explaining working out to the two Olympic athletes. A lot, like really confidently. Like, this is how it works. This is what I do. I'm all about isolation. And
that's why he needs a private bathroom.
You don't put weight on your chest. I never do bench. I only do push-ups. And I do cable flies. You never want to do weighted fly. No. This is how you got to do it, Mr. 12 medal Olympian.
Yeah, but... Oh, boy. How many sitcoms does Lochte have?
True.
Is he a producer? No. I don't know. Joey Lawrence takes the working out very seriously, does all his cameos from the gym. Works out
I couldn't work out if that was a joke or not, because it could actually be something.
Oh, he definitely does. He definitely does.
Hey, just hitting the weights again.
I 700.
Yeah. Wow, that was a weight, cool. Melissa. Push-ups.
Okay. All right. The tabulator checks in. Back in my day, you didn't have to tell the house guests when to start expecting the unexpected. That's right. That's right. You would just expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They need to explain these things to the celebrities. They don't know any better.
All right. All right. Anything else about the premiere of Celebrity Big Brother?
I think we're good.
Okay. All right. So tomorrow night, we will be back to talk about it here once again. We will be back after the episode. Let's talk about what we have coming up. Of course, Celebrity Big Brother premiere part 2. Come back 24 hours from now or 23 hours from now when we are together again at 9:15 Eastern time. Talk about the nominations of Ryan Lochte. And then Taryn, it's happening. The first Big Brother live feed update on Wednesday. What time will the live feed updates kick off and how do people watch those?
11 a.m. this season.
Whoa.
A little bit later.
Taking a little break.
Yeah.
Just a little more in line with these West Coast folk who stay up until, 12 a.m.
No, I appreciate time. My kids are especially bad during the 7 a.m. updates. There's a lot of, dad, I need this. I'm like, guys, I'm trying to listen to Taryn.
Well, now you can do that an hour later.
No, that's good. That's good. Okay. Great. All right. So
yes, check out the morning update. Wednesday morning, the feeds will start tomorrow night after the episode, probably on the West Coast. So after the episode plus 3 hours. And then Thursday night, we'll have our first LFC roundtable.
Okay. And then you can watch those. We will have a post up every morning for those shows on robiswebsite.com. Or if whatever reason you want to go quickly to it, go to rhap.live. You should be able to see whatever we are live streaming on that page. Also on social media, my Twitter should have the link as well. Of course, also on our YouTube channel, robiswebsite.com/YouTube. So we make it very difficult for you to miss it. And if you do, of course, you can catch it in our Big Brother podcast feed. Of course, also, we could not do all of this podcasting without the support of our many Rob Has a Podcast patrons who have kept us going now. This is 5 years and counting since we started the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon. We really appreciate all of the support. If you want to know more about becoming part of the Rob Has a Podcast patron community, we have our own Big Brother group as well on Facebook, where we have people talking about the live feeds all day long. robiswebsite.com/patron for more information. And we did it one night in the books as we continue the march to Survivor 38. The Big Brother celebrity finale should be a very fun couple of weeks. Of course, you can follow Taryn on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Taryn, I listened to your podcast, the new Taryn Show episode today.
Yes, we Matt Liguori and I, we talked about the fan base of reality TV and just how we can all be a little bit nicer sometimes. So if you're interested in that, we also talked to Laurel from Survivor about her experience with the fan base. Check it out. We did it to put out here before, a new year of reality TV starts. And so just something that we can stop and think about how we treat these people sometimes and how maybe we can just be a little bit nicer.
Yeah. And the thesis here is that people on social media should be kinder to the contestants of the shows.
Yeah, basically just, remember that they're human beings and act accordingly, just like remember that they're not just like figments of your imagination that happen to form words online or pictures on your television. Right. That if you were, standing next to them face to face, that, it might be you might treat them a little differently. So maybe try and think about that when you're talking to them online.
Did you get into anything about what people on social media say to people on podcasts?
Unfortunately, we aren't humans, and so they are allowed to treat us as however they want.
Okay,
all right. For yourself.
Okay, maybe that could be a good follow up. Also, yes, sure. We appreciate that. We appreciate that. Okay, and of course, you could follow It's Melissa with 3 A's on social media on Twitter. Melissa, so nice to be back here live podcasting a Big Brother episode with you.
Yes, I am very excited to be back. It was like a good needed break, but now it's very, very exciting to dive right back in.
All right. So we'll be back tomorrow night. We'll be back on Wednesday night. We'll be back on Friday night as well. So a busy week of live Big Brother. Don't forget about the summer or the winter. I'm sorry, the winter of Stein coming up on probably record that early Thursday and have that up on Thursday evening for you guys who are counting down for that. And of course, live feeds on Wednesday. So it's all happening. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories, that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up your first date, that luxury package you got after the big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. You can't put a price tag on your stories, but now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car, simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions, navigation and moonroof, watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can find out how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you can get a True Cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True Cash offer not available in all areas.